family day. The kids are with us. It's a good thing. Welcome. Very glad you're here. How many of you, anybody see the sunrise this morning? Were you up really early? You have to be up really early now to see the sun. It was like the sky was on fire this morning. Just incredible. And then this big red globe, you know, rises. What's the saying about red, you know, this old sailor thing? What is it? Red sky in the sailors take warning. Yeah, no, I think you nailed it. So look out is what the moral of the story is. We're doomed today. Okay. You know, it's always interesting, isn't it? I was thinking about that driving in, about how as human beings, we're always trying to figure out what's coming next. So even this old, old proverb that sailors had was an effort to try and determine whatever way we could what the future held. It's what we're always doing. And if you haven't learned the lesson already, I'll just tell you, it's futile. It's futile to try and figure it out. As soon as you think you know which way your life is headed, some twist comes, some change happens. The future is incredibly uncertain. And I think maybe that's one of the reasons why gathering here together is so important. Life is always changing, always in flux. Parts of life are always moving around. But gathering here means that we come together on the same day, the same time, with roughly the same people. You know, no one here at the branch is here every week, but I'm not even here every week, you know, but roughly the same body of people. While what we do on Sunday morning may look a little different, it's essentially the same rhythms and the same practices. And I think that consistency of gathering together and practicing those things every week helps land us on a rock, on a foundation that's strong, not on sand that's always shifting and moving around. And so if you needed a reason to be here, you don't, because it's Memorial Day weekend and you're here, so you've already figured this out. But if you needed a reason, there's one. That's one of the reasons why we gather together. Helps anchor us in a world that's always shifting back and forth. So there you go. That was my morning reflection because of the red sun. What we're going to do today is a little different, but I'm excited about it. I'll tell you more in just a moment. One of the things that I spend a fair amount of time thinking about are what are the challenges that the church faces? This is the sort of thing that keeps me up at night. And not just challenges that the branch faces, but challenges that the church faces. More broadly speaking, face. What stands in the way of us becoming everything that God desires us to be? And one of the challenges that I've seen present for over 15 years now in ministry, and in fact, I say it's a challenge that is growing, not getting less challenging, but more challenging, is the lack of confidence that Christians have about reading the Bible. I have had so many conversations over the years with people who feel like they don't know what to do with this book. They have a sense that they're supposed to read it. They're just not sure how. You ever felt this way? Like, where do I start? What happens when I reach one of the crazy stories that I'll inevitably run across, you know? How do I read the Bible in a way that's meaningful, that actually, like, connects to my life? There seems to be a lack of confidence. And I don't know about you, but when I have a lack of confidence about something, I tend to not do it. Like, if I didn't feel confident about playing basketball, every time I went out, I dribbled and it went off my feet and I shot the ball and it errantly, you know, went left and right, I probably wouldn't play basketball. Or if I don't feel confident about the ability to navigate conflict, if I feel uncomfortable when conflict arises, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Guess what? I'm probably going to avoid conflict. When we don't feel confident about something, we tend to not do it. And the statistics and polling show that, Christians, especially in North America, over the years, over the last decade, are less and less reading the Bible. Lots of probable reasons for that, but I would say one of them is because we don't quite feel confident, or we've tried it before and it didn't quite connect. So this morning, we're going to do something that hopefully helps change that, because I don't think it's meant to be that way. I don't think the Bible's meant to be something that we feel intimidated by. I think it's meant to be something that is what it is. It's a gift from God for our lives. And so I'm going to teach you a tool. And kids, if you can read, you're going to participate in this as well with us this morning. Okay? If you can read, you can do this. You can practice this tool. It's that simple. And yet, for all of you wise adults, it will be meaningful to you too. A very simple tool. I learned it a number of years ago from a family member that I married into this family. It's my wife's family. Her great aunt, Aunt Marie, taught me this tool. One Thanksgiving weekend morning while we were at her house, she sat me down at a little breakfast table and said, "Hey, let me show you what I've been doing, how I read the Bible." I mean, I was in seminary at the time, but she still felt it necessary to teach me how to read the Bible. Sweet woman. In fact, one of the best women in the world. That's not a joke or an over-exaggeration. Like, a woman who lived her life to the fullest. She sat me down. Showed me how she read the Bible every morning. I think she was 89 at the time. Lived into her 90s. This is what I do. This is what I teach other people to do. And she hadn't created this new thing. She was actually just adapting something that's been around for probably centuries, a way to read the Bible. But she called it the three R's. I'm going to teach it to you this morning. So it's been meaningful to me, and I think it's been meaningful to many, many, many others. It's a simple way to read, but it's a way that is transformative when you engage in it. So what you need here today is one of these. I'm going to just pass them out here. This is like your little worksheet. Sorry, I don't know quite the best way to do this. I'm just going to give you a bunch of them. You guys can make the way back. Pens, some of you have pens in the chairs in front of you. Otherwise, here's some of those. There you go, pen. Everybody's going to need one. You're going to need a Bible. Just take some. Just manhandle it. There you go. Crayons work too. Might be a little challenging, but here's some pens. Sorry. Pen. Sure. I mean, I don't want anyone saying, "Hey, I couldn't participate because you didn't give me a pen." Here you go. Pens. Again, look in the seats in front of you, especially if you're in these green chairs. Girls, you got some. Sheets are coming back, hopefully. I think we've got enough for everybody. So what we're going to do is I'm going to teach you these three R's. I'm going to do it pretty quickly. Just tell you what they are. And that's the top of your sheet, those three blanks across the top. So we're going to fill those in so you know what the three R's are. And then I'm going to show you how I used the three R's this week with a passage, just very quickly, so you get a sense of maybe what this looks like. And then we're going to actually do this. You're going to do it on your own with that passage from Acts 3 that's on the left. So we'll get to Acts 3 in about 5 or 7 minutes. Let's first walk through these three R's. Let me explain them to you. Let me show you maybe what they look like, and then we'll practice them together. Sound good? All right. So the first R is to reread a passage. I mean, obviously, hopefully it goes without saying, if you're going to read the Bible, you have to read it. So that didn't even make the list, right? We're already on step one, rereading. And the idea here is that when you read the Bible, you can't just read it once most of the time. Most of the time, reading it through one time is not enough. And the reason is because our lives are so busy and so noisy that you have so much else going on up here and in here that once through, it's not enough time to let anything land or to break through that noise. So you've got to reread it twice, three times, four times maybe, which means I would recommend when you're reading the Bible to not try and read five chapters in one sitting, because that's going to be way too much, especially for the kind of reading that we're doing here, where we hope to hear what God wants to say to us. So the passage we have today is 10 verses. To reread that might take 5 minutes, to reread it three or four times. So it's doable. 5 minutes, you have 5 minutes? I think we could probably find 5 minutes, most of us somewhere, if we're intentional about it. So just rereading it slowly, carefully, thoughtfully. That would be step one. And as you do, you're trying to listen for a word or a phrase that begins to stand out. This is critical. As you're rereading, you're listening for, you're trying to pay attention to a word or a phrase that gets your attention. You may not know why it gets your attention. That's fine. We'll get to that in the next step. You're just trying to pay attention and notice what there might be. Now, some of you are already into Acts 3. You're reading ahead. Don't do this. Hold on. Wait just a minute. Right? Just we're trying to listen for what the scripture might be saying to us. So as you reread, you're just open. Huh, that word's interesting. I wonder what that word means. That sentence, that's really strange. Or, holy cow, that sentence is talking about exactly where I am. Or who knows what it might be and why it may stand out to you, but you're trying to pay attention for that. One thing that helps when you're reading a passage like the one we're going to read today is to use your imagination, to try and place yourself in the story. Acts 3, our passage today, is a story. So to try and put yourself there, to hear, to feel, to smell, to try and actually be in the story and use your imagination is helpful when you're rereading. All right, so that's step one. The second is to rewrite. So as you've read through the text two, three, four times, kind of however long it takes for something to begin to stand out, then what you're going to do is you're going to take that word or that phrase and you're going to rewrite it. You're going to put it into your own language. And I'll show you what that maybe looks like with a few examples in a minute. The reason why this step is in here is because it's one thing to notice a verse that's kind of interesting. It's another thing to have to put that verse into your own words. Then you've got to wrestle with it a little bit. Why did that verse stand out to me? What about my life right now connects to this word? Why exactly did Jesus say that? You know, you've got to start asking questions. And that's really what this second step is about. It's about asking questions and then getting to the point where you can write the phrase or the verse that really struck you into your own words. Does that make sense? Again, I'll show you what this might look like in a few minutes. But as soon as you have to put something into your own words, it begins to hit home. It begins to become personal. So we're rereading until something stands out. Then we're taking whatever grabs us and we're rewriting it. And then we're responding. That's the third step. Bible says we're not just to be hearers of the word, but doers as well. This helps us, this third step helps us do. What would be a step we might take to respond to what the verse or the word that stood out to us is saying? All right? So you may, during this step, this third and final step, you might write down something that you need to confess. You might write down something that you want to give thanks for. Maybe the verse that stood out to you was just one that makes you well up with gratitude for what God has done. And so your response is to simply say thank you. Maybe it's to actually leave here today, or your home, if you're doing this at home, and to go and do something. That could be part of it. But it might just be a confession. It might be a word of gratitude. It might be an actual step to take. So let me show you what I did this week walking through Luke 17. Here is Luke 17. Don't worry so much about, you know, whether or not you can read this or see it perfectly. We're just going to quickly walk through again so you get an idea of what this is like. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Great story, right? Maybe you read it and that the first time through something just strikes you so clearly. But for me, even reading it right now, it's like, yeah, I know that story. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's interesting. But it will take me reading it again and again and again. So this week, I think I read this through 4 times. And as I was doing that slowly, not trying to hurry through it, this phrase stood out to me. And as they went, they were cleansed. So I took that part of verse 14. It's not even the whole verse. It's just a few words. I took that and I started to reflect on it and move into that next step of trying to rewrite this. Like, why does that stand out to me? What about that caught my attention? Why did it catch my attention? What's happening in my life today that makes that relevant to me or makes it stand out? So I started to think about that and ask questions about it. And that took a few minutes. But after I reflected and asked questions, I came up with this. Here's verse 14. This is my rewrite of that verse. And Jesus said to me, "Chris, keep moving. It's through obedience that you'll gain clarity." See, and as they went, they were cleansed. As I asked questions about that, I realized, oh, that's really interesting. These lepers weren't cleansed when they were standing there listening to Jesus. They had to go and do what he said. He said, "Go to the temple, show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Huh. How often do I want Jesus to work in my life, to do something miraculous, but I'm just standing still? Right, these are the questions I'm asking myself as I'm reflecting. Well, that's really interesting. Do I ever do that? Yeah, I do that. Do I ever wait for the miraculous to happen and say, "God, if you do that, then I'll move"? You know? Yeah, I do that. Okay, well, that's interesting. So I'm processing and I'm asking questions. And then I get to this point of realizing, okay, yeah. I don't always move, but it's through obedience that clarity comes. Now, someone may look at what I just did here and go, "Blasphemy. You know, you are taking too much freedom. You don't have license to do that. That isn't what the text says. That's not what we're worried about in this step so much. This is not an exercise in which we're trying to gain and glean the one and only answer from the scriptures. It's not what we're doing in this exercise. We're trying to let the scriptures speak to us and say whatever God wants to say to us. So Is this exactly what the story means of the 10 lepers that, Chris, you're supposed to get moving? Well, I don't know. But for me, as I reflected and let the story, you know, let God speak through it, this is what came to me. So you have to give yourself a little bit of freedom here. All right. I think when I've worked with people on this, they often get tied up at this step. They're so concerned in the rewriting that they're going to get it wrong. Let's just stop that. All right. This isn't a time to worry about, oh my gosh, this is theologically 100% on track with exactly where this passage was going. Let's just trust that God is going to work and bring up to our mind and our heart whatever God wants to say to us because of what stood out. All right, so that's what I did. Does that make sense? Hopefully a little bit. And then here's some other examples, though, of what it could look like. Maybe 14 didn't stick out to you. Maybe 15 did. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. Maybe as you were rereading it, let's hypothetically imagine, this is the verse that stood out to you. You might then rewrite it this way after thinking about it and reflecting. And I came to God with a loud voice, offering praise for God's provision of a new job. Maybe you just got a new job 2 weeks ago. And as you're reading this story, that job connects to this passage that God did the miraculous and gave you new work. And so now you're coming back like one of the lepers saying, thanks, God. Right? You see how that might connect to someone's life potentially? Or let's say you're reading through it and 19 is what strikes you. For whatever reason, you can't let go of 19. It just, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Huh. And so as you reflect on that and think about it, hypothetically, you might then write, I can go. I can rise. I can move on. Jesus is making me well. Because maybe today, when you read that story, you're wrestling with something. Maybe you're doubting whether or not you can move forward. And this story says to you, no, rise up. Rise up. Your faith has made you well. See how that might work for someone? Here's one more. Maybe 17 strikes you as you're reading through this story. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Maybe that grabs you as you're reading and you start realizing that you haven't really been practicing gratitude in your life. God's been doing great things, but you've never come back to say thank you. And so maybe your rewrite of this verse would be, I'm sorry. I am one of the 9. You know, I've fallen out of the practice of gratitude. That makes sense? So for me, this was mine. Keep moving, Chris. It's through obedience that you'll gain clarity. And so for me, the respond step was, what I wrote in that third column was, I will keep moving in pursuing racial reconciliation. See, for me, in my life at this moment, one of the things I don't always want to move on, or one of the things I'm waiting for God to do the miraculous in, and then I'll move, is racial reconciliation. God, open the door. It's like, just do something that's, you know, unmistakably you, and then I'll follow that. And Jesus is like, no, just keep moving. Just keep moving towards justice. Just keep taking the steps that you can take, and as you do, things will become more clear. You'll see me moving. You'll see me at work. In other words, don't stand still. So that's mine. Now, is this story about 10 lepers? Is this story in Luke 17 about Chris pursuing racial reconciliation? Well, no, in some sense it's not. It's about 10 lepers being healed and only one. But as I engage in this, this is what God says to me. See how that works? So we're going to practice this together. Kids, again, this is you too, all right? I want you to engage as well. There's absolutely every reason why you can do this as much as any adult in this room. And so we're going to do Acts 3, and we're just going to leave about 3, 4, 5 minutes for you to reread the 11 verses that are there on the left. And as you do, Let me just invite you to do two things. Read slowly. There's no hurry here. There's plenty of time. Use your imagination. Put yourself in the story. What would it have smelled like? What would it have looked like? What would you have heard? And then just be listening for a word or a phrase or a verse that strikes you. And we'll, again, have about 5 minutes here to do that. And then I'll move us into that next step. If you're on fire and ready to go, you can move on without us. Just plow ahead to that rewrite step. Go for it. But I'll kind of keep us moving along here, and we'll give it a shot. Let me just say this one more time. There's don't get hung up on whether or not you're doing this right. Okay? Let that go. And just believe that if you're willing to listen and read the scriptures, that God will speak. All right? Let's give it a crack. Let's read Acts 3 and reread it together. or a couple more moments. So remember, in this first step here, we're just listening for what may stand out. If you are like me, you want to jump ahead to the end right away in this first step and figure it all out and like, just patience, you know, we'll get there. We're just trying to read until something strikes us. So for me, reading through it just now, what stands out to me is the verse at the end, when they realized that he was the blind beggar, and they were absolutely astounded. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm not quite sure why that strikes me. So that's the next step. And I'll report back to you in just a moment. But anybody else, anybody else want to just throw out real quick what struck you? You don't need to say why. That would be getting ahead of us. Just what struck you? What word or phrase stood out? Go ahead, Mara. Okay. That strikes her. Good. What else? They're absolutely astounded. You and me, all right, we're tracking. Okay, interesting. Mary?
I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you.
What a great, yeah. Okay, awesome. What else? Lori? Okay, so you get to explore that a little bit more. Trevor, yeah? So that very last part of the story where he's holding tightly to them, yeah, that's interesting too. Yep, good. Anybody else just want to? Again, we're not, at this point, we don't have it all figured out. I'm not exactly sure why that strikes me. Hamilton and I are going to have to figure that out, you know, on our own, but that both struck us. That's the next part we're going to enter into here, okay? So in this next step, and we'll take 3 or 4 minutes to do this, now you're just going to start asking questions. Why did that strike me? What about this is of interest to me, or what about this connects to my life today, or what about this is, I mean, just start asking questions and just exploring it. You just, essentially what happened is you were walking along in a field and you found something unexpected and you're kind of now going, oh, that's strange. What is that? Oh, I'm going to peek at that. I'm going to try and figure it out. I'm going to explore it. So ask questions, reflect. You could pray during this time. You could just listen. We'll take about 3 to 4 minutes to do that and then we'll move into that last phase, all right? If you can in this phase too, you can actually write. You can put it into your own words if you're able to do that. That'd be a part of this step too. Just another couple of seconds here. If you're still working, keep working. Just tune me out. It's probably pretty easy to do. I'll share mine, and we'll see if maybe one or two of you would be willing to share yours as well. Again, we're not to that personal step necessarily yet. We're just noticing what stands out to us, and then we're putting it into our own language. So for me, I shared with you, right? It's verse 10. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. So as I was sitting there just thinking about that, one thing that struck me is how often they had seen the beggar. So they realized it was the lame beggar that they had seen so often. I wonder how many times they passed this guy and thought he was an inconvenience, or completely given up hope that he would ever, of course, be changed in any way. And then that made me think about how many times I walk by things that I see so often and think, that'll never change. So my rewrite was, I wonder how many things that I see so often I give up hope will ever change. That was my rewrite of that part of verse 11. Anybody else want to share what they were? Luke? Yeah, go ahead, Lene.
We were thinking how that same part, Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us, and we wonder somehow, sometimes Jesus looks intently at us. Mm. And even though we're asking for other things, he sees our heart and what we really need and wants to give us what we have.
Mm. Can everybody hear that? Hopefully. Yeah, because I can't say it as well as she just did. That's awesome. Yep. Great job. Cool. So now we're 2/3 of the way through. And if you didn't quite wrap up the rewrite section, then just keep working on that part. Don't skip ahead to respond if you're not there yet. But in this third part, right, now we ask ourselves, okay, so what? So what? What am I going to do? Or what do I need to say? And I'll just kind of front load us here. For me, I think my response is to simply say to God, open my eyes to things that I've given up hope on, right? So it's not go to Africa, you know, it's not even, it's just simply a prayer. That my response is a prayer, God, open my eyes to what I've given up hope. So it could be anything, a confession, a prayer, a request. Maybe it is an action step. Let's take a couple minutes and reflect on that and write that down in that third column, what your response is going to be. Now, some of you may have found this really easy, and you're like, awesome, that was great. I have a new tool. I'm all set. Others of you may have found this challenging. If you found it challenging, I want to encourage you to try it again, but just try it at home. Not in this environment where we are kind of moving through it, maybe artificial times. Try it at home this week. Just give it a shot. See how it goes. If you're someone who wants to be in the scriptures more, but you're not sure how, give this tool a crack. Try it out. Take it for a spin. See if it's helpful to you. One of the gifts of it to me is that it makes the Bible, this huge thing, just very personal, and it brings it down to a place that all of us, I think, can access. So the three R's, there they are. Reread, rewrite, and respond. We're going to respond, continue to respond through this gift of communion as well. You know, the scriptures are one way that God speaks to us. This is one way that God speaks to us. And it'd be awesome if the roof parted and God's audible voice came down, right? It'd be cool if we were reading the Bible and it happened that way. You know, it usually doesn't. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't speak, doesn't whisper to our hearts, plant an idea in our mind. So as we share this meal, as we tear off a piece of bread and then pass it to our brother or our sister down the row, so we dip that piece of bread in cup and say to each other, this is God's cup of blessing given to you. Let's do so expectantly. Let's believe that God might speak to us through this gift. Amen? Amen. Skylar, Christ's body given for you. Amen. We're going to read the rest of that psalm in just a minute, but no, I think there's a slide or two here, if you just help me out. You're all probably well aware, in the closing words, I think, maybe. Interesting. Anyway, you all found a piece of paper near you, on a seat near you. This thing got printed off today. This is a list of recyclable items that we need for Create. So you all are good folks. You know, you're recycling anyway. This time, just don't put it in your bin. Bring it here. We need it for a class that we teach there called Recycled Art. So there's a tub in the back today. It'll be back there for the next few weeks. And you just bring your stuff and drop it in. Here's a list to take home for that. If you haven't signed up, if you know someone who is talking about Create and they haven't signed up, the deadline for registration technically is like a couple days away. We extended it, though, because we're grace-filled people. Yep. So when? June 5th. All right, so not that far away, though. And so if you know somebody, make sure you're letting them know, and we'd love to have them for that. All right. So that psalm that we just sang, that was a psalm. Did you know that? That was a psalm, and it goes on to say this. God will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. That is true for you this week as you leave this place. God isn't sleeping. God is with you wherever you go, watching over you. Be people who remember that. Be people who live into a life confident that God is with them always. Amen. Thanks for being here.